Blog Talk Radio.
The hell with this show? Is this thing
Blog Talk Radio.
The following is intended only for mature audiences.
America, it's Thursday, December 8th, and this is another full hour of Unscripted Radio. I'm Mike Chade. Alongside me are my fellow co-hosts, Karen Ashley and Jeff. What's up, guys?
Woo-hoo!
How much coffee did you have today?
I love that. I love
this,
Mike.
Okay.
He was
well, all right, so,
woo, fantastic.
He's working it.
Well, all
he's
right,
working
so,
his module.
Well, I got a little hint from someone that maybe we should have something that would sound good as an intro on a possible demo reel. So I've been working out some stuff.
Yeah! Woo-hoo! I love it. See, we got things to do. We got things to do and places to be.
We do. Okay, so here's a little bit of a backstory on that, though. All right, Jeff, you'll know this. There's a local radio station in Syracuse called 93Q, and I used to crack up because this guy, the DJ's name was Mike Koshon, and he would do this thing. He must be from L.A. or something because this is what he sounds like. He's like, "What's up? I'm Mike Koshon, and this is another hour of all hit music on 93Q, the number one hit music station."
Okay, he sounds like he's got a little touch of something there. He doesn't sound like he's cool. He sounds like he's a little touched.
Right. There's something going on. Something going on in his life.
That's my best impression. I apologize if you're listening.
He got a little touch of the salmonellas when he was a child. He must have ate the bad cheesecake.
Ah, they sat out all night.
That is true.
Okay, well, let me just tell you, right before the show... So, you know, this fantastic cheesecake that I've been obsessed with, okay? Joe left a piece out on the counter all night. And this fool, I'm like, "Did you really? Did you really?" And then he put it in the fridge this morning. And he's like, "Just eat it. Just eat it." I'm like, "Are you nuts?" He's like, "No, it's fine." So to prove my point, right before the show, I'm like, "Karen, Mike, would you eat a piece of cheesecake?" She's like, "Oh, hell no. You're going to get salmonella and die, fool. Don't you do it. Don't do it. You're going to be sick today. Don't. Just say no."
That is like the most exaggerated version, but basically that's what I was saying. Oh, my gosh. No, you know why? Because I've been food poisoned. Like, literally, I went to Vegas, and we had
layover. Did you eat the green rooster?
No. I was flying from Dallas, and I had a layover in Vegas. And I'm like, yay, I got a layover in Vegas. So I'm, like, playing a couple slots. I go grab a chicken taco from Taco Bell, and I eat it and get on the plane. Like, I literally had 20 minutes, so it wasn't like I was there very long. By the time they read the whole, like, safety, you know, stuff that was – I had the bag in front of me, and I was puking, like, violently. I threw up from Vegas to L.A. Like, that was the hardest hour of my life. Then I threw up. This poor guy, like, he was just like, and I even looked at him and said, "If you want to move, by all means," like, I told the flight attendant, "You probably want to move him because, like, I literally threw up for 2 days." I guess,
did anybody
I
know who you were?
I don't know, because, I mean, it was like I was throwing up, so I don't even know they got to see my face. It was in a bag.
They were like, "I was sitting next to the, you know, the yellow Power Ranger there, and he was up chucking like a son of a bitch."
Like a man. Like, it was bad.
Like
it was
a man.
So bad. I mean, like a man. It was like, it was the worst thing. It was the worst feeling I've ever had in my whole wide life. Like, it was so bad. It was so bad. And I mean, I was like, I threw up that night, like, from LAX, and I live like probably an hour and a half from the airport. And my poor friend, who I love dearly, Jennifer, hey girl, she, like, was driving on the 405 and had to pull over every 5 minutes so that I could throw up. So it took us, like, almost 2.5 hours to get home. And then I threw up all night. She put a blanket on the floor so I could just lay on the floor and throw up, you know. And then I finally threw up all that I could, and I would just be dry heaving. Like, was
oh
the
my
worst.
God.
It was, I was violently ill, and that damn Taco Bell almost took me out. No, because I mean, I should have, but I was like, how do you prove it? Like, you know, I just was like so, oh, so pissed. I was so pissed.
Well, if they got other calls saying they taco, chicken taco poison them, they'd know. Do you stick with Del Taco now?
I do. I love Del Taco. I've never eaten it again. I can't even smell it, like the smell of it. And I'm not saying that, you know, it was just this one particular place. I don't know. But so don't send us any letters. But it was,
you know,
like,
I used to work at the Taco Bell.
I can't even smell it. I can't smell it. If I smell it, I want to throw up. Like, it's just not good.
Oh, my God. How bad would it be if I sent you a chicken taco from Taco Bell?
I would freaking flip my wrist.
She would be calling me like, I'm not doing this show no more. I ain't talking to you. We're not friends. Don't talk to me on Facebook. I'm deleting you. Don't call me. Don't text me. Don't write me. Don't send me
a
card.
She'd have to change her phone numbers and her email.
I know, right? You guys got all my info.
She's already like, this boy talked to me enough during the day.
You know, we got you on lockdown, sort of like Jenna's stalker, which apparently, just an update for everyone who's been following along with this from our chat room, Jenna's stalker apparently has hacked into a ticketing account of hers and actually bought stuff, but the police have her the police have their address, and he's going to jail. Stalker has been caught.
Wow. Oh, my
stalker
goodness.
Stalker has been caught.
We need
get
a stalker.
That is crazy.
I know Karen.
No, we don't need any
one.
Stalkers.
I mean, I'm not going to say names because I'll feel bad because Karen and I, we've all talked about this person in particular. And I'm sure any of the fans that are listening know the person on the Facebook wall that the other day I had to post some crap because it just annoys my face.
Here's the thing, though. You should save that story for next week when we do a special stalker show.
Yeah, we should do it. We should save it.
We're gonna arrange something because I know Katrina has a boatload of stalker stories. I've got a stalker story with some underwear involved. It's gonna be good. You'll just have to tune in next week, and you won't even know. You won't even know.
I've got stalker stories too.
Oh gosh, it may have to be a 2-part show depending on how we coordinate our schedule.
All right.
I'll talk about stalking. So there's a bunch of stuff going on that we need to get out there. And, well, one of them is going to sort of make me a little angry because it's something I saw on YouTube. But maybe want to hold that off for just a little bit. And I know Jeff wanted to say something, too, about the airplane and that they found some information on the Air France flight. But, before that, you guys, there's some stuff I got to kind of share that's, well, just a little sad, especially for some of our older listeners, Jeff. All right. Former MASH star Harry Morgan has passed away. You all know Harry Morgan played Colonel Sherman T. Potter on MASH. He actually died yesterday, but he was 96.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
we
all knew this yesterday, right?
Yeah, I know. We're talking about it today.
Okay.
So there's no official cause of death, other than
pneumonia.
He was suffering from pneumonia, and he's 96, too, so that's the thing. So MASH was his biggest gig, though. I mean, he's been in some other movies. He also played Jack Webb's partner, Detective Bill Gannon, on Dragnet, and he starred alongside Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks in the 1987 movie, also by the same title. So
he was in stuff all the way up to the 90s. I mean, he had a really long and, I think, fabulous career, really.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, one of the things I think that we all sort of remember about him, especially from MASH, is he sort of, you know, would go off the wall a little bit and kind of come up with creative ways, I guess, to swear a little bit, because, I mean, you got to remember, MASH was, what, back in the 70s? They couldn't get away with saying half the stuff that we could say now on TV. So I put together a little sort of montage here for us, just to sort of reminisce a little bit.
Hornshocking.
Okay.
Jumping jodpers, creeps, jackass, suffering saddle soap, buffalo chips, bone cookies, road apples, mule fritters, cow cookies, sweet Nefertiti, hot diggity, oh shoot, pony pucks, Carolina cow pies, pigeon pellets, good grief, holy hemostat, hot mustard, great Caesar salad, dismissed!
Where the hell did you get that clip?
I have my sources. I've got to say, my favorite, I think, is Great Caesar Salad. I think I'm just going to walk around from now on and just start yelling out, Great Caesar Salad. No? Not so much?
Do you remember?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that would be great for your repertoire.
Man, yeah, that he was on, too. Does anybody remember this?
Which one?
There was a spinoff of MASH, and it was, like, stateside in, like, a vet hospital or something. Like, not a veterinarian, but, like, you know, for the war vets. And it was only on for, like, one season. But he was on that, too. I don't know. Just a little trivia.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll definitely be in. He's one of those actors. Yeah, he's one of those actors who, like, you know, there are these actors, and when they pass away, unfortunately, you realize how impactful they were on the industry. And it's like they did 100 movies, and they were part of this show and that show. And you were just like, whoa, look, like what an amazing career. Like you hope to have that type of career, you know?
Oh, so, absolutely.
He will be missed.
I mean, you know, he's right up there with, like, you know, like Jimmy Stewart and, you know, what are those other people back in the day? I mean, people that what was his name? Jack Lemmon? I mean, people that are just so incredibly funny.
How about Lucille Ball? Like, you know, it's so devastating.
Well, she's iconic.
That I was so young. You know, like, that is somebody that I would love to meet. Like, you just can't buy that genius, you know? I mean, she was such a comedic legend. You know, I mean, you just can't even touch that.
Yeah. That's true. She was amazing. Like, she was, there's no one who's been able to capture what she could capture, because not only was she, like, impeccable on her timing, like, it was like her reactions were amazing. She made everyone around her funnier. Like, she was such a giving actor, and it's like, and then on top of that, she was beautiful. She's this beautiful, stunning woman, you know, and she wasn't the blonde.
Right.
She was like a redhead. She was totally her own. She was like one of the actors who first like really made a goof out of herself, and but did it in the way that it made her much more attractive. Like it almost made her, well, she was an icon, obviously, but it was like, you know how women usually they would be funny, but they stay beautiful, or they didn't, you know, they didn't make that face that, you know, you don't look so attractive making. She did it all. Like, she did it all. She was amazing.
Well, and you know,
amazing,
Karen, when everybody comes up for the wedding, one of the things we can go do in Jamestown is where she's from. And they have all the Lucy and Desi museums, and I haven't gone yet. Like, and I've wanted to go, especially for her 100th birthday there. Like, Joan Rivers was there, a bunch of celebrities. But they have, like, the museums or whatever, and it's all, like, you know, huge tributes to Lucille Ball. And, like, in one of the museums, they actually have, like, a recreation of the set, and they don't know what is authentic or not, but they, you know, they think a lot of it is actually authentic from the actual I Love Lucy show. The set is there, you know? So I'm like, that's something exciting. We can all go do that. You can go see Lucy's set with me. Yay!
Wow, yeah. No, that's totally great. Like, I'm so into that, like, history and, like, I just love, I love Lucy, and so, I mean, no pun intended, but I love Lucille Ball. So,
and we'll get you to Niagara Falls.
And I love that show. And you know what's funny? They always said that Desi Arnaz was a complete genius. Like, he was so instrumental in making that show and creating that show. And, of course, a lot of the credit went to her because she was the star, you know, and she was the one who took it to the next level. But they said, like, he was so instrumental on getting them this amazing deal. He was, like, one of the big Hollywood minds that, you know, unfortunately didn't get the credit. He got credit, but not a lot.
Like, at the time, I guess the shows, a lot of the shows, like, the reason why, like, some of the programs we don't see in repeats or whatever was because they were filmed differently, mm-hmm. and because they wanted to do, they did shows more live than, I guess, or whatever. They
yeah.
were one of the first people to, like, put their shows on tape, I guess, or whatnot, so that because
mm-hmm.
they knew, I don't know how, that there would be reruns of that show. I know, if you look at it, I know I'm not, like, but it was something to do with, like, the tape quality or whatever, so that it would be available later on. Like, they were one of the
mm-hmm.
first shows to do it.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
That was a very innovative show.
You know, back in the day when they used to film things, it is not nearly as, and not to discredit them in any way, but it is not nearly as complicated or intricate as it is now. You know,
well,
I mean,
I think everything was mostly live, and they filmed it a different way.
Yeah.
And that whoever would get, you know, like, if they didn't do it twice for the East and the West Coast or whatever, I guess the East Coast, like, whatever the playback was then, it was, like, really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure. I'm trying to look it
well,
up.
Right. I mean, I think of, you know, I mean, the way, just the technology in itself, you know, I mean, the type
right.
of equipment they would have had to have had to tape something like that. I mean, you're not talking, you know, tape as we think of film today. You're talking, like, probably gigantic machines with huge spools of film, you know, and someone would have to sit there and probably change those suckers out every, like, so often, you know, every 10 minutes. Who knows? I mean, I don't know how it all really goes. I'm not, like, a you know, history of movie buff or anything like that, but,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it was a completely different world.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. No, they were innovators, especially with just the TV sitcom and now, obviously, with the technology. So, yeah. That's an amazing, iconic show, you know?
You know what always cracks me up when I'm watching older movies and older television shows is how, and Karen, you could probably notice this, but how they
mm-hmm.
used to do the lighting. Like,
mm-hmm.
the lighting used to be, like, they would light from floor up.
Yeah.
It's because you would see their gigantic
that wasn't so attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you like, you know, lighting from the floor up, and it would, like, it used to look like seriously that they would take one spotlight per actor or something, shining
uh-huh.
it from the floor up, and as they would move across the set, like, the light would follow them.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I mean,
ridiculous.
Oh, man. Just some of the, like, and you look terrible if you're lit from the floor up. I mean, you look
yeah.
like you're seeing a ghost or something. It's like,
Yeah.
But,
it's pretty bad. We need all the help we can get, especially after all them long hours.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so
absolutely.
I guess originally there's something called, oh, great, now I lost it. It's like kaleidoscope, kinscoped.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what it was called, what they used to do back in the day. I'm not really...
Okay.
It was not available for rebroadcast. No coast-to-coast cable system was yet in service. Shows had to be sent to Hollywood, which delayed the airings for West Coast audience by nearly a week. The process operated in reverse for the few programs that originated live in Hollywood, thus making blurry, however you say it, of those shows, the only available print for Eastern audiences. So they were really, like, the first ones to caught
okay.
with filming, which I just think is, like, you know, it just shows the genius that they had to push for that. And they had to fight because it was so much more expensive to actually film.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
they took
right.
a $1,000 a week pay cut in order to cover the additional expenses to do this, too.
Wow.
And they were given
I mean, you
the
think-
majority ownership in the I Love Lucy films.
And then you think back in the 60s, $1,000 a week. That's insane.
Oh, my God.
A lot of money.
Right. And they in exchange, they demanded and were given the majority ownership. Putting it on film also required that they would become responsible for producing the series themselves. Union agreements at the time stipulated that any production filmed in a studio used film studio employees. CBS staff were television and radio employees and thus fell under different union agreements. Arnaz organized the company he created to manage his orchestra bookings and use it as the corporation that would produce the I Love Lucy show. So, I mean, he, like, incorporated, I mean, all these amazing things that just were not done at this time. I mean, just genius.
Genius. Yeah, no, it's amazing. So, I mean, that's it's kind of like one of those things, like that whole set and that whole, like, they weren't around very long either. How long was the I Love Lucy show? It didn't run for, like, 10 years. It was ran
no,
for
it
such
was,
a short amount of time.
It was originally on from October 15th, 1951 to May 6th, 1957. And then after the original series ended, it continued for three more seasons with 13 one-hour specials running from 57 to 60, known as the Lucille Desi Paul, Lucille Paul Desi Arnaz Show, and later in reruns as the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour.
Right. So it went, like, for about 6 years, then an additional 3 years. So, I mean, that's, like, you know, but that in that time, they had huge strides, like, not only in comedy,
that's
but
true.
In comedy. Can you imagine being funny that much?
Right. And it's taking them
hard
enough for
a year. It is still seen by 40 million Americans each year.
Yes. People watch it religiously.
Oh, I know, like, when I go out to Joe's father's house, because they all loved Lucy, and they've been wanting to go to Jamestown, and they actually went for her 100th birthday, and I was so pissed, because I'm like, how are you going to go without me? Like, I'm the one that wanted to get you guys to go. And I go out there, like, Joe's father and I are, like, on the couch, drunk as hell, with the wine, you know, like, watching Lucy. And Joe's like, really? Do we have to watch this? And we're all like, it's Lucy.
Right. No,
yeah,
I hear you.
There are some serious iconic shows out there. I mean, you think, like, going back to the whole film quality part of it, I mean, if you watch news clips from that era of, like, you know, World War II and stuff like that, you can tell where the quality was. I mean, I can't imagine it living back in that age where you literally don't have a smartphone at your fingertips giving you anything you need in, like, a split second. But speaking of news and split seconds, Jeff, I know you have an update on Air France for us.
Oh, right. So, if everybody remembers, Air France Flight 447, it went down May 31st, 2009. You know, it's just, they finally found the black boxes, I guess, a couple months ago.
Really?
And,
they did?
And it... I had no idea because, when a plane crash like that goes on, like, I am on it like white on rice. You know, I don't want to say that I'm fascinated by it, but
it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm just drawn to any kind of, like, natural disaster, earthquakes, you know, plane crashes, train crashes. I don't know what it is. Like, and I just can't help thinking about, like, each person that was on that flight, what they were going through, what they must have been thinking. You know, and again, this plane crash was due to pilot error. Basically, the co-pilot panicking, and I'm telling you right now, the next time I get on a plane, the first thing I'm going to ask is if there's a problem, and the speed sensors get iced over, and you don't know how fast you're going, you know not to pull the little handle back, right? Because the autopilot disengages automatically. And one of the things from the flight in Buffalo that crashed 2 years ago, maybe, it'll be 2 years, I think, this year. And it was right by Joe's family's house. I mean, it was real close in Clarence, New York. And it had the lady from, she was a widow from 9/11 on it. Do you remember at all, anybody?
I don't remember, but I remember
hearing about it, sure.
Yeah.
Like, it was the thing's ice, and it was pilot error. Again, they were, like, pulling, you know, it was saying that it was going into a stall, so they were pulling the, you know, the little handlebar thing back, and you're not supposed to do that. And it's, like, one of the things I remembered. So, and, like, in this, just, like, I kind of just read this, and I was, like, kind of paralyzed in fear, and, you know, it's saying that, you know, one of the things is, you know, great about having the automatic flying, you know, the autopilot, is that it reduces pilot error. But the problem is when that fails, pilots are not going to have the experience to deal with flying a plane on their own, and this is what happened. And, you know, towards the end of the thing, when the pilot ran in, I guess in this particular airplane, like, there's usually, you know, you have two sets of controls, one for the co-pilot, one for the pilot. This particular co-pilot, nobody knew, they didn't have the controls that were simultaneous. Like, if he was pulling back, the other one would pull back as well, even if the other pilot wasn't doing it, so he would know. Nobody knew that he was doing this until the end, and he said, you know, he finally said that he was doing it, and the pilot's going, no, 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 and then it was too late. So, I mean, it's just something that really, you know, I'm like, gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
See, I don't...
You know, it all happens in such a split second that...
Right. Yeah.
Even
but, you
over
know,
60 seconds, that's like the quickest 60 seconds of your life.
Well, I mean, look, okay, the Clarence plane, it took 27 seconds. 27 seconds for it to crash. Ready? I'm just going to go 20 seconds.
Are we going to be quiet?
No, we can still talk, but I'm telling you, 20 seconds. This is how long these people were winding, the plane was spinning. When it crashed in Clarence, it was facing the opposite direction. So it was in free fall for 27 seconds.
Right.
That's
right.
20 seconds. Just that. I mean, that.
See, here's what I don't necessarily like about it. I mean, I get the autopilot is, it's supposed to be there and, you know, more accurate or whatever. I get that computers can process things faster than people and you can make split-second course corrections and everything else and there's less room for human error. But here's my thing. If there's something going wrong with a plane, I am going to put my faith and trust into a pilot that has the experience and can go on instinct more so than I ever will some computer that's processing multiple scenarios.
But this
trying
is
to figure
what
out
we're
what
learning,
to do.
Though, is that these pilots are not trained well enough, unfortunately.
And they need that. They
their
need
brain
that.
Well,
reacting
how do you
quickly.
Get crisis training?
But,
how do you get that kind of training?
Right. Well, and I think one of the things, and it makes sense to me, is that if you don't know the speed of the airplane, you're going to pull back, you know, you don't know where you are because they went into clouds, it froze, whatever. You know, you don't know how fast you're going. You don't know anything, what's going on. So you're pulling back on the stick to make the plane go up because, you know, you don't want to lose altitude because they didn't know what the altitude was. But unfortunately, like, there was 75 warnings or whatever. The bell went off or the ding saying that the plane was going to go into a stall.
Wow.
And, like, you know, let go of the damn joystick, buddy. And I'm telling you, when I get on a plane, you think I will not go in, knock on the cockpit door and ask how everybody's doing. You know, is everybody good in their life? No wife's cheating on them. Nobody wants to kill themselves today. Nobody's
yeah, he's going to pull a Cindy Stumpo. That's what he's going to do.
Like,
she does
you
that
know
every
that
she
if we go into an automatic stall, not to pull back on a joystick, right? That, I just want to know because I've been reading some shit and I could probably fly this bitch. Like, don't worry about
well,
it. You get scared, just call
like,
me. I'll come up.
I don't know if it's a lack of training or if it boils down to experience. Because if you guys remember a year ago or a couple of years ago, whenever it was, there was that flight that the pilot successfully landed in the, I believe it was either the Hudson or the East River, right?
Yeah,
right
Hudson.
Alongside New York
Hudson.
City. Yeah, I mean, and that could have gone a completely different way, but that pilot, and I wish I could remember his name. Oh, Sully. Wasn't it Sully?
He relied
on his instinct and his experience. Screw what the computer was saying. Screw what autopilot's doing. Land the plane.
Right.
He, though, had been, you know, he was flying for a lot longer, and I think what we're finding, like, the person that, you know, the co-pilot or whatever in the crash in Clarence, you know, these were newer people that were being overworked. You know, there's just not enough. The pilot's name was Chelsea B. Sullenberger.
Yeah, from the
You
from
know,
the
but
Hudson
I mean,
plane.
Honestly, like, that plane crash happened right after the one in Clarence. Like, it wasn't that long prior before, and that year that it did this, that prior December, we flew back and had that horrible flight from Florida, and I was like, I can't do this again. Like, the amount of stress that it put me through and, you know, just what I was going through in my body, I'm like, it's not worth it to me to do this. I mean, just the turbulence. Joe thought he was going to throw up trying to land. It was in a blizzard. Like, they were canceling flights left and right. We probably should have never been in the air to begin with. And, I mean, you could feel the plane sliding everywhere trying to take off and, like, starting to go sideways. I'm like, you know, like, it's just not worth it to me. Like, I would rather drive and take longer. I would rather die in a fiery car crash. I don't like heights. I don't want to fall out of the sky and die. I just don't.
No. Yeah. Oh, I know. It's just,
you know,
I think
but
the
then part of me
any of that is just so horrible. Like, it's just like,
right. And part of me feels like I kind of want to go take flying lessons because I think that might help me, you know, if I face the fear head on. But Lord knows, I cannot open that. I have to have the window thing closed because if I look out, I get dizzy, think I'm going to die. And then, you know, when the plane's turning, it looks like you're going to fall out. Oh, no.
Well, I sort of have a newsflash for you there, buddy. If you're going to take flying lessons, you can't exactly close the drapes on the cockpit window.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, like, this is, I want to conquer my fear. Because,
right.
I mean, how many people fly? More people die in a car accident. I understand that. I'm aware of it, but it doesn't make it any better for me. You know, whereas I feel like if I tried to learn to fly, it might just make it easier or at least help reduce my fear.
Right.
Because, I mean, it really is like I have sheer terror. Like the thought of going on a plane, like even just thinking about having to fly out to L.A., I mean, literally, I mean, I have sheer terror. It's not just panic.
Well, you can take the bus. I will fly on Southwest. And Karen and I will see you in a couple days later.
Well, honey, I wish you well because their shit, they don't keep their planes in good check. Their shit breaks
you
apart
might,
when they're in there.
It might take you a whole day to get here on Southwest.
They're horrible.
I forget you're not a Southwest fan. All
right,
I mean JetBlue. I haven't had too bad of an experience with them.
No, I like me some
JetBlue.
I've had great experience with Southwest. It's just they don't have direct flights.
Southwest?
I have to say the one time, though, with JetBlue, when I was flying back from London, I had a connection from JFK into Syracuse, and we landed in Syracuse, and this was on JetBlue. And all of a sudden, you know, we land, we hit the runway okay, and then we taxi almost all the way to the airport, and then, you know, the plane has to sort of turn to get to the gate. Well, we just stopped, and the pilot gets on the thing and is like, apparently there's been a malfunction, and we don't have any way to steer the plane.
What?
Like the wheel. The wheel.
Oh,
they couldn't get the, there was no way, not like turn the plane in the air, but turn the wheel to get the plane to turn. He's like, we're okay. We did go off the runway a little bit. We're in the grass, but we're okay. I'm like, what?
Did you have to get off on the jumpy thing?
No, they made us sit on the runway until the little truck could come and get us an hour later.
And pull you, could tow you in.
But,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Do you remember when JetBlue had the whole thing where the wheels locked on the plane and the people, because they have the TVs in there, were actually watching the live news coverage of them landing and like the spark flying?
Oh, that would drive me nuts.
When we were on JetBlue and having that horrible experience, I'm literally watching CNN is breaking news. Plane crash in Colorado, goes off the runway trying to land. Skids on ice. Meanwhile, we're skidding on ice. The lady next to me with her expensive necklace telling me how she got it in Prague. I'm like, bitch, your necklace from Prague is not going to save us when this bitch goes off the runway and we burn.
You are like, you have all kinds of things going on.
Like, literally, I'm on the plane and I keep thinking, like, this is the last thing I'm going to see is this fat bastard sitting next to me drooling on himself. Like, I'm just not, you know, like, I'm that morbid. I, like, literally the whole time, I believe I'm going to die. Like, and I have myself
no way to talk about your fiance. I can't believe you
like,
talk about Joe like that.
Getting, like, you know, and I have, like, the plan, like, if the plane starts going down, you know, of the cell phone, I've got to call. I've just got to make one phone call and leave a message. Like, pray to God, if they don't answer, I get to leave a message. Like, you know, I've got the plan. Like, I've already got it on speed dial set up. Like, it's bad. Like, I'm, like, horrible. Like, it's bad.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Well, I want to give a quick shout-out to a former co-host of ours and a great friend of the show. Madison is hanging out in the chat room tonight. She's doing her thing in there. So hats off to you, girlfriend. Been a long time. But I, you know, so...
Wait, Mike, before we go
I was,
on, we've got to... I can't think Karen, you know, she has some news because she's been doing all that Twitter craziness. I know you're going to announce the winner before the end of the show, but you want to fill us in?
Yes. I mean, we did an amazing contest today, and this person is not only going to get me, I'm going to follow them, but I'm also going to send them an autographed picture. And the question, the trivia question was, we had Monique Moy, on our show last night, and we basically asked her, one of our questions was, you know, if like who could you work with? Who do you aspire to work with in the business? And she named a band, a particular band that she said, you know, I would love to work with this person. And, of course, this band, we all, like, for, like, 5 minutes drooled and went crazy just because that's how we are. But the answer to the question, huh?
It took us a little by shock, I think. I said,
yeah,
it took
I was
a
like,
shock.
Really? I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. No, I totally would love, I mean, if I was still in the music industry. Anyway, the answer to the question was Maroon 5, and we were like, wow, Maroon 5, wow, ooh, wow, ooh, wow. So, you know, we're all in love. But the winner was Chantel Robinson, and she is the winner of the trivia. She listened and got the, you know, got it right. So round of applause for Chantel. Woo-hoo. So Chantel is, yeah.
In the chat room tonight.
She's in the chat room, yay. So, yeah, she's going to get an autograph picture, and she's going to send us her information. And, Chantel, we really appreciate you supporting Unscripted Radio. So,
yes.
Thank
now,
you.
Chantel, make sure that you send your, go on unscriptedradio.com, and just where it has the little info, send your address or whatever, and we'll make sure Karen gets it. And if you would like to, since you are the winner, you can call in, and we'll get you on air for a second.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Call in,
and if the email link doesn't work through the website, or you know you don't want to do it through that way, just send us an email right to unscriptedradio@aol.com. But you know, as you guys heard me earlier today on Facebook, I came across this video on YouTube. I actually saw it flash on my AOL when I was looking at the email for the show. Angelique Bates was actually talking about this on Facebook a little earlier. There's this Rick Perry campaign ad that came out on Wednesday. And I got to say, it really annoyed my face a little bit. Just saying. And I'm going to play it for you guys. And I'm sure this is going to send Jeff through the roof. I'm going to play it, and then we'll get our reaction, because this just really boils my bubble. Great Caesar salad.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian, but you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school. As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion. And I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage. Faith made America strong. It can make her strong again. I'm Rick Perry, and I approve this message.
And Rick Perry, I don't approve of you.
He said Obama's war on religion? And
oh my God.
There's so many things wrong with that ad. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna swear, but I about lost my shit when I heard that ad, and the first thing out of his effing mouth is, here's what's wrong with America, there's something wrong when the gays are serving openly in the military.
Right.
Really? Really, buddy?
Really.
Okay.
Really.
You know what?
Oh, and
if he gets elected president, I am putting out a call right now. I will start a petition, a Twitch, whatever. Every openly gay person in the military, I want you to quit. I don't care if you get a damn court-martial. Freaking move to Canada. You know what? Because if that's how ungrateful he would be as a president, you know what? They don't deserve us in the military. Screw that.
Wow. Wow. Mm. But you know what's so disturbing about that whole situation is that, I mean, a lot of people don't know that when they have the don't ask, don't tell, like that is the most unconstitutional thing to put anyone in. Like, you mean to tell me I'm going to have to go to work and I can't, you know, you can't talk about your personal life, you can't, you know, and it was like a lot of things that happened behind the scenes that people probably don't know about, and a lot of people were discriminated against, you know, and it's one of those things that thankfully they got rid of that, and thankfully, you know, we took a small step into the right direction, but for him to even say that is so... It's just so – but what bothers me most is that he equated it to religion. Like, I'm less of a Christian because I'm you know, friends with gay people, or that I'm happy that they no longer have to live in secrecy in the military. So now I'm less of a Christian. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is such a horrible thing to do.
I mean, I don't even understand.
Everybody has their right to believe. You have your right to believe, but don't mix like Christianity and mix this. And that's why, you know, don't mix all these things. And it's almost like a manipulated, you know, it's totally a manipulated, you know, campaign. And it's like a lot of people, unfortunately, think that way. Unfortunately, you know.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, here's my thing about it. I read a whole article about this. And, you know, there's a lot of people have commented on this. And this one sort of note in the article that I read on HuffPost really kind of sums up where this is all coming from and how wrong it is. Basically, Rick Perry's decision to criticize the open service of gays in the military, in short, is made from a personal, not a policy perspective. Well, here's my thing. Why are you going to run an ad for president telling me what your personal beliefs are? I don't particularly care. I want to know where you stand on the issues.
On the policy.
on the policy.
The economy.
What is your policy?
Right. Do you have a position?
No, he doesn't. And I don't. Jeff is being quiet because I don't think he realizes he left himself on mute. So.
Damn it.
Beast, I suppose.
Damn
there
it.
You go. I was wondering why you weren't, like, butting in.
Well, I was sitting here talking. I'm like, these bitches, why they always got to do this? You know, it just kind of sickened me. It sickens me. It makes me very sad for this guy because he's obviously closed-minded, has no clue. And, you know, it's just really sad. It's just really sad and pathetic. Like, you know, he needs to find something else to talk about. Like, maybe the fact that there's people with no fucking health insurance, you moron.
Mm-hmm.
I say that with love. Not really.
Right.
You know, like, gays in the military, well, I'll tell you what, you son of a bitch. How many gay people have gone into another country to help save this one? Okay?
Right.
Like, how many gay people have been in the closet that have had to do with leading this company? How many gay people have died fighting this war that was really on oil? Oh, well, let's not go there. But I'm just saying, like, it's ridiculous. Absolutely asinine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that this is only one advertisement out of many that he's going to run to try to become the GOP nominee. But here's my thing. This is probably going to be the ad that is going to be one of the most that he is remembered for. And
can you just play that one more time for me just in case somebody didn't hear it?
Okay.
I don't even know that
way,
we need to give him any more time. Oh, he's like his he
you know,
made
here's,
my skin
here's the thing, guys. I'll play this. No way do we endorse him, like him, want you to
hell
vote for him.
No.
I'd sooner see this asshole burned at the stake. And if he does happen to get burned at the stake, that's all allegedly, it wasn't me.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school. As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion. And I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage. Faith made America.
Okay,
so is
he
not
going to
fix the
Jewish
economy?
People too?
Apparently. Anyone who's not Christian,
I mean,
you should be offended.
Right.
Well, if you don't celebrate
or not
Christmas,
his, or his type of Christian. That's not Christian. That's his type of Christian. That's a different thing, because I'm a Christian and I don't believe in that. I believe in love. I believe in equality. I believe in, you know, a number of other things. Wow.
What a yacht.
What a yacht.
Makes me sick. Okay.
Maybe,
move on to bigger and happier things, because that's just going to fry my ass to the point of no return.
We should. I mean, I heard that advertisement when I was on YouTube, and I just had to throw it in there tonight, but if you guys don't get enough of us on politics, be sure to tune in tomorrow night because we are having a very special show, the entire hour dedicated to politics. Katrina will be here, myself, Jeff, Michael Fishman, and a very special guest of ours, Adam Ross from The Adam Ross Show. Tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
But I'm really excited because we have Karen's winner on the line.
Mm-hmm. So excited for that. Where's my applause? It's here.
Hello?
I promise.
Well, where's
let's bring her on air.
Come tell.
Hi.
How are you? Okay, do you pronounce your name Chantel? How do you pronounce your name?
Yeah, it's Chantel.
Hi, Chantel. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good. Awesome. So you're going to, I'll send you an autograph picture. I'm very excited you won this contest.
That would be awesome.
Aw. So tell us a little bit about you, because I always love to hear different things.
Well, I'm a really, really big fan of yours. I actually met you at Morphicon last year.
Ah, great. Oh, my gosh. That's even better.
Yeah, and I'll actually be there next year, so hopefully you will
awesome.
Be too.
I will.
And
I will be there with Jonathan.
Awesome. So, yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm a really huge fan for since I was 7, so.
Very cool. So
and,
what do you do? What do you do? What do you do in your life so I can learn a little bit more about you?
Well, I was in school for a while. Now I'm looking for a job currently.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, right now I'm just looking for a job and doing that.
Very cool. Well, I will say a little prayer for you because I know the job market is tough, but you sound like a very intelligent girl.
Thank you. It is quite tough.
Yeah, you sound like a very intelligent girl, and I think you'll be able to, with determination, always think of this. When the going gets tough, it's your personality, it's the way that you present yourself, that will get you through. That'll cut you through all those applicants. So go in there and just be positive
absolutely.
And do your thing. You sound like such a sweet girl.
Thank you.
So what are you wanting to do with your career? Because obviously you ended school, and now you're looking, what kind of job are you looking for?
Well, right now I'm just looking for anything, you know, to pay the bills.
Exactly.
Ultimately, I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, right now I've got to pay the bills. But
exactly.
Ultimately, my major was elementary education. So
Okay. Teaching
is something that I've loved for a long time.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll pursue that again at some point.
Absolutely. And where are you located?
I'm in Arizona.
Okay, perfect.
Ooh,
okay.
My favorite
Yeah, I'm
going to
say, who do I know in Arizona? I know a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I thought I recognized area code.
What part of Arizona, sweetie?
I live in Casa Grande. It's about an hour north of Tucson.
Okay, very cool.
Oh, nice. So
very
are
cool.
So you're kind of closer to Phoenix then, right?
Yeah, we're about probably an hour from there, too. We're kind of, like, in the center, like, right smack in the middle of the desert, so.
Have you ever been in, like, Chandler?
I actually grew up in Chandler. I lived there most of my
really?
Life.
Really? Oh, my gosh,
yeah,
that's where I lived. I worked at a daycare center on, oh, God, Baseline? Sunrise
okay.
Preschool?
Okay.
It was, like, on the
yeah,
border
I've
of, like, Mesa, right?
Small world.
I know,
yeah,
crazy.
With the area, we lived in that area from, like, when I was 5 till I was, like, 19. And then when I was 19, we moved out here to Casa Grande, and I've lived here for about 6 years, so.
Have you ever been to Teak Woods? Where you could throw
where?
The peanuts on the floor?
So where?
You could throw peanuts on the floor. It's fantastic.
Oh.
They can come out of
yes.
top blowing.
You know Ooh. You know what I thought you just said? Oh, my gosh, Chantel, close your ears. I thought you said you could put your penis on the floor. I was like, what?
OMG.
Wow.
Okay, then.
I was like, you could do what? What are we talking about here? Oh, my gosh.
No, peanuts.
Okay.
Wow.
Peanuts. Yes, yes. I didn't hear the last
peanut.
Part. Sorry.
Not peanuts.
Good
Lord.
Yeah,
but, hey, if there's a restaurant out there where I get to whip the donkey and throw him around on the floor,
oh,
somebody
man.
Let me know. Call in right now.
Oh,
there
no.
goes the family rating.
Well, I'm so glad.
Places around here.
Welcome
Mike?
To Unscripted Radio, darling.
I'm out of control!
Ooh, that's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Oh, see how we can go so long so quick. It's like it's
oh, yeah.
not
yeah.
a matter of seconds that it can just go awry.
Have you ever heard another radio show that can literally turn on a dime like ours? I mean, seriously.
No, not really.
Right.
Well, okay, so Chantal, make sure you go to our website and send us an email through there with all your contact information, and we will make sure that Karen gets your autographed photo out. Congratulations.
Yay. Congratulations,
okay,
girlfriend.
So there should be information on there of how to email you?
You'll go right on the site where it says contact us and just put in your name and your address and all that stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And tell all your friends about
the
stuff.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Yes, and keep us posted on your job search. Keep us posted because we
absolutely
would love to have you app on once you start your new job. Okay. Thank you, Mama.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that's so exciting.
That's so awesome.
I know.
I love giving away photos of Karen. I love it.
We'll have to do it more often.
It.
We have to have more contests.
Okay, you know, here's
so
my thing that I just
bleeding.
Can I just say something that just annoys me just a little bit? I mean, you know, not that I'm saying that getting a signed, autographed photo from Karen Ashley isn't really the shiz, but
right.
A few weeks ago, I tried to give away the Justin Bieber new Christmas album, Under the Mistletoe, the MP3, and not a damn person entered my contest. And don't you know, now what you're trying to give away an autographed photo.
I think that goes to the Justin Bieber thing. I don't think that goes to your contest. I just think people are, you know. Maybe
well,
we don't have the
Justin
Bieber fan base.
You know what we need to
do, Karen?
Instead of giving away a signed photo, I think the next contest you do, you should give away a signed copy of the Power Rangers movie on DVD.
Okay.
Not to throw you under the bus or anything and put you on blast, but I have a feeling that that might be amazing for your fans because I saw something on your Facebook page where somebody was saying, I finally got it. Like, I don't know if it's hard to get now or something.
You can find them. I can probably do that. I would have to find one.
So everybody, you heard it. I threw Karen under the bus. So all you Power Ranger fans, I expect you to send me some love.
Karen, don't worry. I think there's room in the prize budget for it. Just to, I mean, as long as it's not like some limited edition collector thing that's going to cost you like $200. And then I'm sorry, you're on your own. Maybe we'll send you the DVD cover without the DVD. But
right. You know what
else
I can
send them? Maybe the next Power Ranger reunion, we can get everybody to send it. We'll send it all over the U.S., have them sign it, and then we'll mail it out as a gift.
Right. Well, you know what else I could send them that I can definitely send them is a signed copy of my movie, Devin's Ghost. I have one of those that I can send out.
Ooh.
So we can definitely do that. And myself
that
and Johnny Young Ross are both in.
I think you should have that contest next week.
Absolutely. We shall. So next week, that's a prelude to what we're about to do.
And whoever wins is taking the Justin Bieber download, whether you like it or not. So there.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, I know we have another caller on the line, and he has a question for Karen. And, you know, we've only got a few minutes left, but I say let's try to get him through. His name's Ian. Ian, you're on the air, maybe.
Oh, was I supposed to hit the button?
Oh, there he is.
What?
Okay, hi, Ian.
Hey there. Hey, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
It's been good. A restatement of the questionnaire. Now that I heard about the politics thing, because I worked for a campaign with the Republicans in Ohio, even though everyone thinks they're all bad.
We don't think they're all bad. We just question some of their tactics.
Okay.
Politics gets kind of tricky. You know, you know how it is.
We know what it's like when people label a whole group. So we kind of just attack single people when they say dumb things.
Yeah.
I get that because in Ohio I'm the top caller for making 1 million calls for elections.
Well, honey, could you get us 1 million viewers on the show? I'm saying, like, get to work, buddy.
But also, you asked for so many trivia questions for Power Rangers. I got a trivia question for you, but it's not Power Rangers.
Okay.
It's going to be an acting question. Balbutrin.
I'm getting nervous. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, this is going to be a voice acting question. Before you perform your lines, what happens before, right before you say anything?
The beep, 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 the countdown.
How many times? How many times would it
be? It's three beeps, and then you speak. Right?
Okay, yeah, you got it right. You got it right. You got to think of a harder question.
Right, I had to like sit here and go, this is like hours and hours of ADR with Power Rangers. That only protected me.
You should have Richard Epcar on the show. He did the voices for the monsters.
I know. You know, I know a lot of those guys. You're absolutely right. That's a good suggestion because I know Tony Oliver. I know all those guys. I'm still in contact with a ton of them. And I could probably get a lot of the monsters on the show.
Yeah. Okay, well, one more thing. If you've heard of this show, Shelf Life, it's by my friend Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt. It's like South Park with Toy Story. It's on YouTube called Shelf Life. It's very good. It's very good. It's on YouTube. Just to point that out to people. But, hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to go on and talk about politics, too, because I'm probably going to defend the bad side. People think. Not Rick Perry, because I disagree with Rick Perry on the gay thing, because I'm a Republican independent Republican, and I just feel if you want to be gay, that's fine. That's your choice. I don't see why politics should be in that. That's a personal choice.
Well, you know, and if you don't like gay people, don't marry a gay person.
True. I find that the government should not intervene with marriage. If God's against that, then that's your personal thing with God. But it's your choice. If you want to marry a guy, or girl, or a pie. Well, not pie. I think that's a little bit.
Right. That has nothing to do with politics. You know, that is a personal choice.
Yeah, but the government's trying to make it. Some Republicans are trying to make that in there, and I feel like that's a bit much.
Right.
But also, I can mail a Power Ranger movie. I got one that's unopened to you, so you can use that for your contest.
Oh, you're so awesome, Ian. Thank you. We appreciate that since I don't have one.
I can get both. Oh, they're very cheap. We're a place where I go to where I get my anime. Very cheap.
Are you really into anime?
Yes, I am. I'm going to try and get in the Air Force. Besides that, I'm going to try and do voice acting too. I'm trying to go to Clark State right now, even though I can't take credit courses. What?
Right.
Well, I'll try and be on tomorrow night. If not, well, you know, there's other nights.
Absolutely. We are on 7 days a week, 5 days a week, so by all means.
Yeah.
Sister, I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but I'm going to be getting a little tipsy at the in-laws, sister. I mean,
I'm probably going to see the Muppets.
I'm losing my mind as we speak.
No, don't worry about it. I do it because you're my friend. Because you're nice to me, too.
Sweet. I can't believe he offered you a Power Rangers movie. How nice.
Right.
You know, that makes me just embarrassed a little bit.
Did you just pass out? What happened? Where'd he go?
Yeah, what happened, Mike? Where'd you go? What happened to you?
Well, it sounded like he had a little gas, and then, like, there was nothing.
Right.
Well, I think we lost him. Good. So we've got,
yeah,
like,
we
56 seconds to talk crap about him. I love it. No, I'm just kidding. So, yes, make sure you tune in tomorrow. Thank you, everybody that has been listening. I'm so glad, Karen, that you're tweeting and doing trivia with your fans. And I feel like it's not fair for me to partake in it because, I've gotten to know you through the show. So, I can't do it. But thank you, everybody who's been listening. We'll be back live tomorrow. Mike's not here. I don't know how to play the theme music to get us out of here. Oh, God.
It's okay,
so many.
But you know what? Take a little time to enjoy the radio.
That's right. Oh, Kara, see, you're on the game. You're on the ball.
Good night, everybody. Good night, guys.
Good night.
My mind is full of things I can't explain. So give me a drink or two and I'll explain. You'll see a smile when he says my name. Cause the saint is my nickname. I'm the boy you wanna meet.
That is right. This is Lips on the Air. It is Friday. Someday in November, I don't know. The days are like running together now. I'm working again. It's different. And my schedule is so crazy. Like, before I get into all that, though, I just want to say hello to my fabulously awesome, incredibly talented, and just excellently perfection, Jeannie, my co-host.
Well, thank you. I love your introductions. They always make me feel so great about myself.
Well, I try. I try. I haven't talked to you in like 3 weeks.
I know. I feel like it's been a while.
I know.
Usually we talk.
I remember the last time you called me.
Oh,
well, I remember the last time you called me. You left me a voicemail, and I never called you back. And I felt like the biggest douchebag, so I'm calling you back right now.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that we will be able to share our conversation with everyone.
Oh yeah, we're just forget that there's thousands of people listening. We're just hanging out, just you and I. It's totally
awesome.
Cool.
It feels like.
Well, how's it been?
I've been good. I'm doing good. I've been on bed rest for a couple months, so I've had a lot of free time, which has caused a lot of really weird obsessions. But I'm hoping all that stuff fades out whenever, I don't have so much free time on my hands. But I'm doing good.
Yeah, you get paranoid. You get paranoid very easily, and you look up satire, and you look up stuff about the government, and
I get stuck on it. It'll start with a simple thing, and then is that really true? And then I'm trying to find out if it's true, and next thing you know, I'm like, I look up and I got like 11 tabs, and they all say federal did this and that, trying to find out, and then next thing you know, it's like 5 in the morning, and then I'm looking at conspiracy theory stuff, and then I'm totally freaked out for days. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I just get carried away. I can't help myself. It's so easy.
Right. Well, everybody knows, the last time we tried to pre-tape a show, it didn't go very well because, Jeannie, we kind of got into this whole government talk and we spent a good 40 minutes talking about just random government stuff.
We're talking about important things that people should hear and be able to talk about, Yeah.
And then something happened and her phone locked and she kept getting dropped and we just decided that we weren't going to talk about the government anymore because Jeannie was convinced. She
was perfectly charged. And I had perfect signal. And all of a sudden it says, this call is ended, which my phone never says that. It'll say call lost, and then I have to hit the dismiss button. It says, this call has ended. And then it shut off, and when it restarted, it was saying loading, and it showed a new screen, and it was doing all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, I was absolutely panicked. Do you know that I don't know what happened during that phone call, but I was convinced at the time that it was, like, the federal government, like, cutting my phone off because I said something I shouldn't say, And
yeah,
just having
we
to replace
convinced.
The phone.
She was convinced. Like, she was messaging me. She was messaging me on Facebook. She was like, oh, my God, the government's going to come get me. I'm afraid for my life right now. Like, it was hilarious. I have to admit.
It was silly and stupid now, but you don't have to understand. I had not had any sleep. I had been up for 37 hours at the time, and I had all the pain medicine from the surgeries and all this, and I was just like, really into reading about the Illuminati and all that stuff. So I was already paranoid. Okay, every little thing scared me. And then when that happened, I went into, like, super freak mode. The next day I took it to my provider. I ended up having to get a whole new phone because they said that somehow my phone just updated. But it never does that. I have to accept the update. But it completely wiped my phone. I didn't even have an operating system on my phone. And it cost me like $150, but I was super mad about it. And then when the guy said it was an update, I was like, oh, so it wasn't the government? He looked at me. He said, what?
Oh, my God, you actually like, said that to him? You were like, oh, so it wasn't the government? Genie, oh my goodness.
Yes, I did. I was a man, like, he slowly looked up at me, and he had glasses on, and he's, like, looking at me between his glasses, you know, and he's like, the government? I was like, never mind. I didn't even go there. I was like, long story, you're not going to understand. I'm crazy.
Long story.
That's what I was,
Great, and now the government's totally tapping your phone because you said that to a guy at Sprint. And he's like,
right.
Maybe we should put her on the watch list.
That's a whole other 2 days of panic freak out. It's crazy. But you know that they legitimately can do that, and that's what scared me the most was after it happened. And I'm done with you at this point. You're, like, not messaging me on Facebook anymore, and so I have no way to call you. So I'm looking on the Internet, and I'm looking at, like, things they can do, and they totally have 100% because of the terrorist stuff and all that. They can listen to anything they want to listen to. Anytime they want to listen to it, and even in some other countries, too. So once I read that, I was just like, oh, crap. Like,
oh, well, there is a way. Okay, we're not going to stay on the government conversation for very much longer, but there is a way, and I know this for fact because I've seen it happen. I have been on the phone, and there have been cops that are, like around the area that I'm in, whatever, and I've been on my phone, and as I go to answer my phone or as I go to place a call, this cop took his phone, put it up to his ear, and when I went to this person's voicemail and I left a message and I hung up, he took his phone away from his ear. So I'm certain there are ways that just being in a certain vicinity of somebody that they can listen in on your phone call.
Oh, they absolutely can. And they say that it has to do with, like, different signals and towers and things like that. And some phone companies had to give permissions for that and some didn't. And I actually found that on a reputable site. Some
Cricket,
don't. Like
Cricket is one of those. Yeah, Cricket's one of those companies that the FBI taps all of their phones. So, like,
right,
I
don't know how they offer
possible.
Well, it's Cricket and Metro, and then there's also, you know how sometimes you see, like, commercials for if you're on disability or if you get Medicaid and welfare and all this, you can get this free cell phone.
Right.
And they do that, and then that phone gives you, like, 200 minutes a month, and it's basically just like a Lifeline phone for people who can't afford phones. Well, it's automatically in those contracts, too, so at any point they can. But it's kind of creepy.
Right.
It really is.
Right. But honestly, I think that's great that they do that for those phones because it's going to get all those people that are, like, illegally collecting welfare and that are illegally collecting, you know, benefits that they shouldn't be getting. It's going to turn around and bite them in the ass.
Oh, absolutely.
So... I look forward to that. I welcome that one. If it's government-funded, I welcome it. But you know what? My cell phone is not government-funded. I pay for that shit myself.
Right.
So,
and I work my butt
off
to pay my bills, and I don't have to have their help, so I shouldn't have to be, you know, I guess, held to the same standard. And that's something that we were talking about that night, was, like, being held to the same standard. Well, when you do it on your own. I mean, I have neighbors that, I'm honestly not saying anything bad about anything like that, but I have a neighbor who throws barbecues every freaking weekend, and they have 16 TVs in every room of their house and leather furniture, and they both drive a big Cadillac Escalade. Neither one of them works. And I know she told me that she bought all the food for all these barbecues on her food stamps. I'm like, isn't that supposed to feed your family? Well, my niece and nephew don't technically live here, but they're on my case thing and all this, and I'm like, for real? And I'm over here shopping at Aldi's and dollar store trying to feed my family of five, you know? Like,
right. But you know what? Aldi's is actually the shit. I like Aldi's. Aldi's is the only place you can go. Aldi's is the only place you can go and get like $70 worth of groceries and leave with a cart full of stuff as opposed to going to like Price Chopper or Walmart. And getting $70 worth of groceries, and it only lines the bottom of the cart.
Yeah, exactly. The only problem that people really have with Aldi's in particular is all their fruits and stuff, vegetables, they all come from very faraway places that aren't held to the same FDA standard, or not FDA, but, you know, Food and Drug Administration. I guess it is FDA.
Right.
they're not held to the same standard. I can go there and, like you said, get a whole grocery cart of stuff for $70, see everybody for a week and a half. I mean, we're eating good stuff we want, you know, versus
I know.
Going to a big store. But they, all these here are, like, gourmet. They're huge. They have, like, tasting samplings and stuff. I mean, it's when we went, I was like, I have got to be at the wrong store. And I started looking
right.
at the price, and I was like, nope, 17 cans for green, or
well,
17 cents for a can of green beans. This is the right store, you know?
Right. Well, I think about it. Like, you got to think, their cashiers get paid just on their ass and scan
yep.
stuff, and they get paid, like, $12 an hour.
Yep, it's, like, $12.70-something, I think, is what that woman was
it's
telling.
Like,
but, yeah, it's insane.
I would love
it's
to work for Aldi. I would love
and
to
they
work
don't
for
even,
Aldi.
And they don't have to have people to unpack shelves because they bring it all in boxes, and they open the box. Like, it's not really
right.
on shelves.
And,
it's, and
you don't
it's
have a bagger because everyone bags their own grocery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to buy
yeah.
the bags, or they get boxes, and they stack all of it themselves. I would love to work at that store, but every time I've ever applied, it's like I've never gotten a call back. So it's like you have to know someone.
I applied for a management position there when I first got here, and I went to the orientation. And what they did was they had five of us out of, like, the whole, because they had a big, like, hiring fair thing that lasts a week. Well, they had five
yeah.
of us. And so for 2 days, I had to dress up all fancy and go in there and sit through this orientation. And then at the end of the orientation, based on our feedback and the way that we conducted ourselves, things like that, they were going to call two of us back. And I didn't get a call back. I was, like, kind of disappointed because it was, like, $64,000 a year as a manager starting off. And I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
I can do that. That's easy, you know?
Well, and I'm really hoping I get this job that's, like, right, that's like 5 minutes away from my house and is, like, $12.50 an hour. And I would totally take it because it's more money than I've ever made an hour, and it's, like, again, 5 minutes away from my house, and I work by myself. So I really hope I get this job. But I kind of want to talk about some – I want to change the pace a little bit because – over this past week, I did something that I thought was, like, the coolest thing ever. And I want to do more things like this, okay? Wednesday night, I went out to a coffee shop out here in – or over in Lenexa. And I got to – I went out to this coffee shop because there were some YouTubers that I really like that are on tour. And they went to this coffee shop, little hole-in-the-wall coffee shop that sees, like, 56 people, and did a little concert. Like, they put on a little performance. And one of these people was YouTube sensation. She's also been on Ellen. Her name is Megan Tonjes. I absolutely love this woman. I got the opportunity to meet her, and she called me, like, oh, my God, it was great, okay? I was kind of a fanboy for you know, a few minutes. I didn't act like crazy or anything in front of her, but I was like, I went up to her, and I bought her
inside,
tea.
You're like, ah!
I know, yeah, inside I'm like freaking, inside I'm like 13-year-old girl screaming my head
right.
off. But no, I go up to the counter, and because she's standing behind the counter, and I they had merchandise and stuff laid out, and I look at her CD, and it was $8, and I only had $9 on me, so I was like, sweet. So I spent the last of my money, I bought her CD, and then when I bought it, I looked at her, and I was like, I just want to say, I think you're absolutely amazing, I love you so much, and I'm very excited to see you tonight. And she came around the counter, and she gave me a hug. And she took a picture with me. And then she was like, I'm probably gonna end up hugging you a few more times tonight. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm totally down for that. And she was like, and even more pictures. And after we took the first picture together, she said, oh my God, we're really cute together. And I was like, I know, right? And and then I started talking to her, and I was like, you know, I've seen all your videos, and I loved your website that you did, and my favorite song by you is a song called Affected. And she's like, oh, she's like, well, I'm singing that tonight. And I was like, sweet, you know, I loved it. And I got a video of her singing it, but you kind of hear me singing throughout the entire song in the background. So that's never going to get uploaded, just so you know. But I bought her CD, and I listened to her CD, and all of the songs on her album are incredible. You can download it on iTunes. And right now, we're going to do a little bit of an artist spotlight, and I'm going to play one of her songs for you guys in its entirety. And she has a video for this on YouTube, and the concept of the video is she's in New York City, and she's walking around New York City with a bunch of red balloons, and she just passed them out to strangers, and it's a really cute video, and it's a great song, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So right now, this is a Lit on the Air exclusive, Megan Tonjes This Year.
baby, I found a few. Even with best intentions, they never follow through. If you could take my heart now, you put it right in her chest. Taking you have a brother, finally could love fair. I'm gonna be fine, fine, fine. Gonna be brilliant. Things are gonna be better, and you're gonna stay. Yeah. Gonna be stronger and braver than me. Yeah. I'm gonna make it, 'cause I said I would. Do all the things you said I never could. Things are. I may not be perfection, I'm never cleansed indeed. Maybe if I was thin, a beautiful classic queen. All of the things I carry, and all of the things I know that I will be loved, no matter where I go. I'm gonna be fine, fine, fine. It's gonna be.
I felt like the applause was needed.
I love it. So I, halfway through that song, totally remembered her. She was on Ellen, but she had dark hair.
She did,
yeah. She was on Ellen.
She was on Ellen.
On Playlist Live in 2012,
yes.
Like the end of last year. And she sang the same song on there, but she had dark hair. And then whenever I Googled the video, I was like, oh, my God, I've already seen her before. She
yeah.
was awesome covers of other stuff, other people's stuff. Like,
oh yeah, it was on Ellen
remember,
because she did a cover of Hold It Against Me and a mashup of Hold It Against Me and Grenade, and
yep.
was featured on Ellen. She was on Perez Hilton's website. She was featured on BritneySpears.com. Like, she's amazing. And I talked up Lips on the Air to her, you know, in passing while I saw her, and she said she would totally love to come on sometime. So hopefully
cool.
we'll have Miss Megan Tondis. Grace us with her presence here in the next couple of weeks on What's on the Air. So if you guys want to hear more of her, you guys can check her out on YouTube, youtube.com/TondisML, and I will link that in the chat room. But also there will be links on the Facebook page facebook.com/ What's on the Air. And you can also check out her website, MeganHondas.com. So yeah. But yeah. And when I went to leave, I went up to her and I said, I just wanted to say you did amazing tonight and I loved it. And she was like, oh, are you leaving? And I said, yeah, I gotta go. And she came around again and gave me another big hug. And she said, thank you so much for coming out tonight. She's like, I really appreciate it. And I was like, you're so welcome. Can we take another picture?
Yeah, right? She'll have a good career. I mean, she's very talented. And I think the song that we played is her best. I don't really think it's her best, but it's awesome. It's great, and I love it. But I'm just encouraging people to go check out her other stuff, too.
Yes, please do. Please go check her out. She's absolutely amazing. And also tweet at her. Tweet at her, at Megan Tondras, and tell her that she needs to come on Lips on the Air, because we're going to make this happen, I promise. We're going to make this happen. I want to have her on the show. I think she's hilarious. And she's not afraid to say what's on her mind. And she's very insensitive in a way. So I think she'd be perfect to join us because of, I mean, how we talk about family and everything. So yeah. And also, if you want to download her music, she's on iTunes as well. So yeah. Now that my Megan Tondras Love Fest is over.
Yeah, there we go.
What should we talk about, Jeannie? We have, 38 more minutes. What should we do?
Okay. Well, I found something interesting on the internet earlier today, and I tried a few of them out at home because, not everything you read on the internet is true, right? So I started reading some of these, and I was like, no way. So we totally tried these out. Lacey, at dinner, or it was more like lunch right before we took her to her doctor, like 2:30, he mentioned that her phone was dying. Well, I'd read on this thing, it's 16 tips, basically, at cheating life and how to start winning at life kind of thing. So it said that if your phone is dying, if you want to charge it in half the time it normally takes, then put your phone on airplane mode, not to turn it off. Because I've heard that if you turned it off, it would charge faster. But it actually doesn't. If you turn your phone on airplane mode, we were able to fully charge her HTC Evo in 43 minutes. Fully charged, not a false charge. It's held all day as you're holding. 43 minutes.
Wow.
Usually it takes about 2.5 hours to charge the battery. It usually lasts about, it's supposed to be an 18-hour battery. So it's pretty awesome. So then I Googled this one because I didn't know for sure, and it says the arrow on your fuel gauge will point when your tank is empty. It will point to the side that your tank is on. So some people's, it's always full on the top, and most people's always, goes down to E. Well, if it's empty and your car's turned off, if the little notch is under the empty notch, then your tank is on the left side of your car. And then if it's above or right on the E, then it's on the right side of your car. So I Googled it on like 6 or 8 different models, and it's true. It's kind of interesting.
Wow.
Not that I'll ever need that information, but,
Right.
The next one is
as long as you know where you put gas in your gas gauge, or where you put gas in,
you're good.
Really all that matters. I love that when I go to the gas station. But I love that when I go to the gas station and I see people, and people pull up on the side of the thing to get gas, and it's on the wrong side. And then I've seen some people that don't know how to turn their car around. Right. And I've seen people that don't know how to turn their car around, so they try to stretch the thing over their car, and it doesn't ever work.
So my whole thing is I've never done that because, I know what side my gas tank's on, but, if you rent a car or something, it's helpful because if you say you prepay for gas, you can't really pull out and pull back in without risking losing your prepaid gas.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. It's just one of those unknown facts kind of thing. But the next one says that when eating Cheetos in an environment where you cannot have orange fingers, you should use chopsticks. You only eat them one at a time anyway, so this will avoid from having cheese on your fingers. I thought that was interesting. Next one that we did was, there's several others on here, but the next one that I thought was really awesome was, it's kind of hard to explain. Okay, so your car most have an alarm, and they have, a little remote control. So I actually tested this one. You should have seen me walking down the street. Okay, so my car's parked outside on the street. So I go out, and I hit the button, I take a few steps, and I finally get almost 5 houses away before I hit it and it won't work. So as soon as I hit it and it wouldn't work, I open my ear, and this sounds silly, I swear, but you open your mouth and put the remote to your chin and hit the button, and it makes because of the shape of your mouth, I guess, I don't really know, I didn't really investigate that, it just worked, and I was excited. So, yeah, it broadcasts the signal stronger. So I hit it like 5 or 6 times. I kept doing it over and over. My, you know, my whole family's standing up there looking at me like I'm nuts. And then I open my mouth and hit it on my chin, and it works as soon as I hit it. Like, unbelievable. It actually works. I felt kind of silly doing it, but it's good to know. So, like, say you're in a mall parking lot, you're going to get, I mean, you might look kind of dumb walking around with your mouth open, but, you know, you'll find your car easier.
Right.
I love that.
That was like an idiot. Well, and I wanted to go to the mall tonight when I got off work, but I didn't have a chance. Because, like, I literally got off work at 5 o'clock. It took me almost an hour to get home. And then I was, like, rushing, trying to get stuff done. Because I want to stop, like, the way I go home, I drive right by my favorite Aeropostale, you know? And it's my favorite store. Like, I love Aeropostale. The only place where I can go, if you guys hear a lot of noise in the background, it's because my family is being very inconsiderate and making me carry stuff in the house while I'm doing a show. So, yeah. Anyways.
Wow.
But, yeah. Anyway, I wanted to stop this night to get a new hoodie, but I didn't have time to stop before
wait,
I came.
Wait. They have their buy one, get one free sale in, like, a week and a half.
For real?
Yep. And last year I went and I got 5 hoodies and, like, probably, I don't remember for sure, but it was, like, 6 or 8 different shirts. And I know it was always even numbers because basically buy one, get one free. So the shirts that are 15 are actually only 7 because, you know, you only pay half the price for a piece, 4 of them. So, yeah, I spent, like, 40 bucks and got 2 for the kid. But
And what I love about Aeropostale, though, is that when you go to Aeropostale, everything's on sale. Like, they always have a sale going on for something.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. There's always something on sale. So I love going to Aeropostale because almost my entire wardrobe is Aeropostale. Like, I'm wearing Aeropostale jeans, a shirt, an Aeropostale hoodie. I want to get a new one because this one's kind of getting, you know, torn up a little bit. So yeah, I want to get it. But I love that store. Love that store. Almost every pair of jeans that I own are Aeropostale, except for my 3 pair of Rude jeans that I got at Hot Topic.
See,
and I have, like,
I have a thing for guys who wear True Religion and Buckle jeans. I can always pick it out. Like, when a guy's walking around, I'm like, those are True Religion. And sure enough, paying up attention to me, look, they are. It's awesome. But I wanted to bring this up to you real quick because this is a really big deal right now in Texas. So, well, you wouldn't think it is because, you know, you think Texas country, but that's not really the truth. K104 is a local radio station here. It's syndicated. That's on the radio, and it's like a mixed hip-hop R&B kind of station. Well, they talk about this all morning long, and then news article after news article after news article. Okay, Chris Brown. Everybody knows Chris Brown. Well, Chris Brown's mother, I guess, basically, Chris Brown's mom is going after this guy who's a Dallas artist. It's Hood Boss.
If you guys could see me right now, you would think I was crazy.
Yeah.
Seriously, because I'm carrying, I have a thing of toilet paper, and I have 2 boxes of Ziploc baggies stacked on top of each other, on top of the toilet paper, resting against my head, which is still resting on my shoulder, supporting my phone. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Just wanted to throw that out there for a minute.
Wow, that's nuts.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
This whole Chris Brown thing is insane because Chris Brown doesn't even have a problem with this guy, Hood Boss. He's a friend of Chris's. The mother has a problem with him. So she attacks this guy on social media, on Twitter, just goes nuts and attacks this guy, starts dogging him. Well, because she's Chris Brown's mom, everybody else, that even people that aren't, you know, anybody, are all just going to town on it, and there's, like, crap loads of comments and all this stuff, and basically she is trying to make it just absolutely unbearable for this guy so that he doesn't want to hang out with her son because he's a bad influence on her son. And this is legit. Like, she's really doing this stuff. I mean, this is unreal to me because Chris Brown is a grown man, for one. And two, you're going to let your mama fight your battle. 3, this is absolutely unbelievable that this many people have gotten involved in this, and it's all about because it says that Chris's friends are not good for him, and they are demons, is what his mother says, and they are trying to get his shine, basically, from Chris.
Okay.
It's unreal. So then I was reading, you know, when I looked it up to kind of get some more details on it, I was reading, there's a lot of lawsuits going on right now. A lot of lawsuits
against
Chris
Brown?
No, against the music business. Eminem's got a lawsuit. Jay-Z has two right now going for copyright infringement. R. Kelly claimed at one point that Bruno Mars stole parts of Gorilla from him, and then now he's being put on the remix, and the charges have been dropped.
Oh,
so
nice.
What does that say about R. Kelly? And I got this from,
right.
If you go to K, it's actually myk104.com, it's the local Dallas radio station. On here, it's like, it has other links to other, like, New York Daily News, things like that, so you can actually find out where it came from. But R. Kelly must be hurting if he's going to try to sue Bruno Mars for a song that I think sucks anyway, and then drop the lawsuit because he gets thrown on the remix. Like, really?
Now, I gotta admit, though, I wasn't really a big Bruno Mars fan myself for a number of reasons, but when I saw him perform at the iHeartRadio Festival,
that was awesome. I loved Bruno Mars from the beginning. I don't even know why. It started out with the beautiful song, you know, the very first one you did, with the cassette tapes and the video and all that. It started out with that, and it was one of those things where I got off work in the morning, and I would go home and turn MTV, the only MTV that I have of 8 that actually plays music videos. I would turn that on, and it was always on there, like, for a good period of time, and I loved that song. Well, then I got tickets to a Bruno Mars concert, and this is where I thought it was kind of crazy, because they were, like, third row from the front, awesome seats. I am not kidding you. I put it on Facebook. I tried to give it away. Nobody wanted it. So, ended up, the night of the concert, I was like, I can't just let this go to waste. I guess I'm going to go by myself, you know? And so, it was actually awesome because I met up with some people I knew from way back when, and we had a great time. But I totally went to the concert alone. So, I'm not going to miss sitting in the third row for Janelle Monáe and Bruno Mars. And there's another band there that was just amazing. Of course, I'm not going to be able to remember their names now, but... They started out doing covers. Yes, huge covers. Yeah, well, now they are, but they weren't then. Neither was Bruno Mars. Like, I remember the newest song he had was Full of Lighters at the time, the song with the lighter. Like, that was the newest song he had at the time. But, it was really fun. They are awesome. They did a rendition of a song, just an old school Stand By Me, like, song, but it was amazing. I loved it. And ended up buying everything they had. It was great. But I wouldn't have known. Mayor Hawthorne was there, too. And Mayor Hawthorne has a very old school sound. If anybody likes, like, R&B, like, old stuff, more like kind of down the lines of, I guess, like, B.B. King and things like that, they're amazing. But it's a white dude. But he has a voice like B.B. King. Like, it's crazy because it's not super, you know, it's more funky, I guess, than like, slow jams. But it was just so much fun, and it was really hard to get rid of the ticket, and the whole place was pretty much empty. I'm not going to lie. Like, they ended up at one point opening all of the seats up to the general admission at the bottom for people to go up and sit, because there was, like, hardly anybody there. And I kind of felt bad for Bruno, you know? Like, that was all bad for him. But, he did really good.
You have to think, though, that was kind of also at the very beginning of his career, and, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody really, I guess, knew who he was other than that one song. The thing Grenade came out, like, right after, or right before, well, I guess it was right after that, It was decent. I just don't think Bruno was great on.
Mm-hmm. And when I saw, like, the iTunes music, the iTunes, the iHeartRadio Festival, and I listened to him perform Gorilla, I was like, oh, my God, I love this song. But now, like, I don't like it when I hear it on the radio.
I have some songs like that. Like, I don't know why, and I think it's because of all the stuff I read online and all the crap that I've seen, because I actually took some time to look this whole Miley Cyrus, her and her issues and all the stuff up, and I just, for some reason, having a 16-year-old daughter who was wearing blonde Hannah Montana wigs, like, 5 years ago, you know, like, I just can't wrap my mind around it all. I mean, now, today, they came out with an article saying that she raised, or actually, it was in a magazine, not on the internet, which I'm sure we could find it on here, but it's in my OK magazine, And it basically has a picture of her, and she looks horrible. And then it sits down to, like, 98 pounds. So they asked her about it, and she quoted that she needed help or something. And I thought, okay, well, that's crazy. And then I was on Viral Nova. Do you ever go to Viral Nova?
I have never heard of it.
It's Viral Nova. It's a website. And basically what it is it's everything trending that's on the web. So if something is a trending topic on Twitter or on Facebook or anything like that, it is basically one of those, it shows up on this website. Well, there's several different things. Like, you start scrolling down and you see things, you know, all kinds of stuff. Some kind of weird stuff, but some of it's interesting. And everything always leads back to the source if it's a claim, which is really great because you can go back and say, okay, well, this was done by, you know, News Weekly or the New York Times or whatever.
Right.
So it's really helpful if they do the work for you, which is great.
Right.
But, yeah, I was on there, and I was reading about Miley, and somebody had said that she was a reporter asked her, I heard her, that the reason that you've lost so much weight and you're down to an unhealthy weight at 98 pounds, that sources have said that you're doing this for a movie kind of thing, and she was like, no, nothing's wrong with me, and then all this, and I was like, oh, man, at least if you had said that, you wouldn't look like a crackhead.
Right.
I don't know. And I even if you get past all the stuff in the news and everything like that and all of who she is and everything, I don't think she really is that talented. I really don't.
Right.
I think that, you know, you listen to Kelly Clarkson and you hear her voice. And then you listen to Miley Cyrus and it sounds like, yeah, now it's like singing a song, you know. And it's just enough of a twang to find it annoying to me. I can't do it.
Right.
I can't listen to any song that comes on by her. Even the old
even
stuff,
though,
like Party in the USA.
Even though,
like,
hold on. Even though, when you saw a certain video that she did with Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
You liked it.
Yes, I did.
And you were like,
okay,
she does have talent.
Only because, did you see the video? Did you ever watch it?
Yes, I did.
Like, why not portray the talent that you have? Okay, first of all, this is another, not only with her, but this is an issue I have with another person. Okay, American Idol, Simon Cowell, calls this girl out, singing the song, and the girl from Pussycat Dolls, Nicole, she says, oh, you couldn't do that. He says, no, you couldn't do it either. And she stands up and belts out, note for note, the entire main peak of I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston and rocked it. I mean, it sounded better than Whitney did at it. And I was just floored because that's not what you get from her. You get... Don't feel wish, you know what I mean? You don't get talented music from her. You know, if you're going to have a gift, use your gift. I get it, that's not what's popular or whatever, but they're not in it for the music. They're in it for the fame, and that's how you can tell.
Right.
And that's why I think she's just a, you know, I don't know.
Well, and I'm not really all that big of a fan of Nicole Scherzinger anyways. Like, I think that, I mean, honestly, if you want to be a solo artist.
Cat Dolls?
Yes,
you
there's a band called
her.
Eden's Crush. That was put together on a little show called Pop Stars that went nowhere. Okay, they were a group that she auditioned for this group. She was with five other girls, or four other girls, and they did the show. And on the show, she tried to make herself out to be the victim. Like, I remember this. This was like 10 years, like 10, 11, 12 years ago. She always tried to make herself out to be a victim. And I didn't like her. Like, I didn't like her on the show. I kind of liked her in some of the songs that they did because I actually have their CD. One of probably, you know, 500,000 people that has that CD. But they released one single. It did really well. They go to release a second single. It flops. And then their record label folds, and they break up.
Do you know who
and then, you know what, 6 years later, and then 6 years later, you see her in the Pussycat Dolls, and they're trying to make this super group out of the Pussycat Dolls, and it's really only her that sings.
Well, and honestly, the Pussycat Dolls, what she started doing was a show in, like, Las Vegas or New York or something, and it was basically like a burlesque show where people could go and participate in a choreographed burlesque show, and it was, like, for famous to see that, and Puff Daddy, when he was still called Puff Daddy, was the one who, like, something's got to happen with this girl, but when she sang like that, I was shocked, and I just, the first thing I thought was, for somebody like me who likes to sing and would love to be able to do something with that on a daily basis because it would make me happy and not having the ability to really go full force with it and then her have talent like that and not use it is kind of like insulting. I mean, really.
Right.
And that's like with Miley,
that
day I saw something in her that was very different.
But solo, though, her career has gone nowhere. Like, with her as a solo artist, her career hasn't done anything here.
Do you know why?
Like, she's more popular outside of the country than she is here.
Well, yeah, and it's with the Pussycat Dolls, not by herself, and it's because sex sells. You got five girls wearing lingerie next to nothing versus one girl who actually has a dress on. You know, I mean, there's a difference there. There's a huge difference there. I mean, they said that, like, it was something along the lines. When I looked up the Beyonce video, the Put a Ring on It video, and it was talking about, like, all the views, it said that that kind of thing was common, basically, because that's what people are attracted to. Even if they don't know that they're looking at it, they are because of that, you know?
Right.
But with the Miley thing, I saw some talent in her, and then I go through and I the new album and all that, and I sampled parts of it, and I was just like, God, you know, this is like a 10-year-old trying to sing. I just didn't like it.
I'm not gonna lie. I like her album. I think it's good.
I think
also, but you also know my music taste.
But
you know my music taste though. Like my Ariana Grande, I actually really enjoyed her album. I think it's a great record. I think her voice is phenomenal. And it's funny, you'll notice when you're looking at, like, the star of the show that she was on, because she was on Victorious on Nickelodeon, and she wasn't the star. But you notice, like, if you watch shows that have, you know, singers that come out of it, or, like, you know, the star of the show is always the most popular singer.
Right.
But not always has the best voice. It's always, like, the supporting cast that's, like, more talented.
Yeah, and, you know, I think some people take it too far. Like, back, if you want to, I mean, to talk on the Disney level, I never really got, I was, you know, kind of older, I guess. I'm not that much older than you, but older, to where I didn't have nieces and nephews like you that, you know, constantly are talking about things like that. I just had my kid. Well, when she was younger, the High School Musical was huge. I mean, absolutely huge.
Yeah.
And all those artists, well, not all of them, but four of them, tried to spin off and have their own music careers, and they all failed. Big time. You know, and I think with Ariana Grande, just so you know, okay, everybody knows this, I'm a huge Jimmy Fallon fan, so Jimmy Fallon did a skit with Ariana Grande where they sang rap songs to the tune of old school show tunes. So like that song, 99 Problems, you know, it's like 99 Problems, and, you know, the same one. So... She has it's insane. It's crazy the way that she sings it, and it's like when you listen to it, it's like you can almost close your eyes, and it, without, you know, the Big Tank One part, it sounds like something you would, you know, hear or see in a movie set in the 50s. It's insane. She's gorgeous, so much talent, and I mean, she'll really go far, and she's so sweet. She's not corrupted, you know, and that's the thing, is you wait for it. You wait for it. Everybody saw what Britney went through, and they waited for that from Miley because they knew it was going to happen. You know, you wait for it.
I won't say that Britney's is really self-induced. Miley's, on the other hand, is self-induced because she knows what she's doing.
No, Miley doesn't.
Exactly.
She thinks she knows what she's doing, but it's just for attention, and she's being stupid because she thinks she's supposed to be. She's getting attention. She's getting publicity. I mean, this really is genius. Like I said with the MTV Awards, she looked like an idiot. She made an ass out of herself. But she was the topic still on some websites today because of that performance. I mean, Halloween, I saw so many pictures of famous people dressing up as Miley and Robin Thicke. Yeah, Robert Thicke, whatever.
Robert Thicke, Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
No, but you know what's funny? Yeah. I talked to a lot of guys named Robert today at work. It was really random. Like, every other guy that called in, his name was Robert.
Today, it's been a guy with weird names. Okay, so I get a call from this guy from State Farm asking me about my insurance policy and if I want to change things around or whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm at the doctor with my daughter, so as soon as we're done here, I can call you back. And he's like, I'll just text this number. Is that okay? And I said, yeah. So he texts me. He's like, good news. I can get your policy for $54. And I was like, awesome. He goes, by the way, this is Jared from State Farm. And I put, you mean Jake from State Farm? Jake from State Farm, LOL. And he texts back, yes, and I'm wearing khakis. I'm like, awesome. It was awesome. I took a screenshot of it because it was really funny. But, yeah.
Right.
Then the doctor, like, the doctor's name is Jared.
Yeah. But, like, go back, though. Like, okay, you know, while most people may not think she's really all that, you know, talented, she had the Miley Cyrus did have the number one album in the country. She's had numerous number one albums. She finally
in
had
the
her first number one single,
no.
with Wrecking Ball.
No, she had the number one single in the country right after the MTV
no.
Awards.
No,
in,
she has the number one album. She had the number one album in the country with Bangers.
It's in the world, not the United States. It's from sales overseas.
She has the
really?
Number one album. On, she had the number one album on the U.S. Billboard 200 albums chart. It debuted at number one in the United States.
I believe it probably did. I don't know if it's still there, but I know that a lot of the stuff I read was saying that most of her stuff is from overseas, a lot like that other girl. But Katy Perry Prism, I know, is number two right now because I was looking at new music. A lot of times I go to Billboard because I find things I don't know about. Texas radio, you'd think in the area we're in we'd get more versatile, but it's very closed-marketed. Like, there's, like, five R&B hip-hop stations, and there's, like, 10 country stations and one alternative rock. You know, so
right.
it's kind of, and, you know, then there's about 500, you know, Spanish music stations that kind of suck. You know why? Because you can't, you know, everywhere. It's like polka. Who wants to listen to polka, right?
Who wants to listen to Spanish polka?
Right, and it sounds like Steve Urkel should be jumping out of a little clown car in a minute, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, so Katy Perry, though, it's number two right now, and it's supposed to be amazing. I know Kelly Clarkson is at number three, and I know that because when I went to do it, I downloaded her new, the new Wrapped in Red. The Wrapped in
yeah.
Red.
I
yeah,
love
I
it.
I haven't to sample it all yet, but I was,
It is my number one favorite holiday album. Number two would be NSYNC Home for Christmas. Just saying.
You know, and I'm happy that Drake's up there, too. Drake's number five. I like Drake. He's one of the few that I actually like. Like, I have a huge despise for Kanye, and it's over
you and I both.
A multiple different song. I mean, listen to the lyrics. I'm sorry, but if my kid can't listen to it in my car on the radio, there's a problem. Same with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, they play it on the radio.
Well, the one thing I don't like about Kanye is that he feels... Like, he acts like he's entitled
to the success that he has.
And that he's entitled to do whatever the fuck he wants to, and no one can say shit about it. Because as soon as somebody does say something bad about something rude or something wrong that he does to anybody, it's like, oh, my God, the world's ending because somebody dissed Kanye or somebody said that Kanye shouldn't have done what he did.
I'm trying to figure out, though, like, how does he have so much status? I mean, Jay-Z is like his best friend. How did that happen? And what does that say about Jay-Z? Just saying. You know,
exactly.
And then you're reading, like, I'm on my, the OK magazine.
But what does that even say about Beyonce?
Right. You know, and that's like, I say that I don't care about this stuff, but then, like, the OK magazine comes and I'm like, okay, and I'm reading it and there's an article about the Kardashians and how Kim said that she wanted this small, intimate wedding because she already did the big bling thing. And this is the real thing. And she wants it to be private, and he's not having it. You know, he spent $8 million on her wedding ring and only $11 million on their house. Like, how do you justify
but
that?
It's like, why would you really want to spend, I mean, okay, honestly, why have a big wedding when it's a marriage that's going to go under in, like, less than 6 months? I mean,
right. It was just hilarious the way that he acts. Like, you're right, like, he's entitled. And, you know, he's sort of been... Big pit bitch fit, and I saw this actually on TV about how he, it was on MTV, how they do their news things, so it's probably on the website too. He was throwing a fit because, he was offered a Hollywood star or whatever for the song that he wrote that ended up being used in a musical and won a Grammy. So because he's a Grammy, whatever person, he's eligible to get a Hollywood star. He threw a fit, contacted the board, and got a lawyer. Because he said he wasn't going to do it unless Kim got a star, too. Okay,
and
well, they don't give Hollywood stars for reality TV or for Christ's sake. So, really, I mean, come on. You know? Like, I mean, I never actually saw the sex tape with Ray J and her or whatever, but I'm sure that even though it might have skyrocketed the whole family success, I'm pretty sure that it doesn't deserve a Hollywood star. But he threw a huge and denied them. Absolutely refused to take the star that they offered him, and they were like, fine. So he changes his mind, okay? So like six or eight months later, he changes his mind. They said in the fall, so that would have been the fall. And I'm guessing it was in the same year because they didn't refer to the season, right? So it says in there that they go on to talk about how he decides he wants it and goes back and ignites him, and he got pissed and got a lawyer. Really? Like, can you sue somebody for not giving you an honor that you refuse to accept.
Exactly.
Right? Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Hey, but back to this real quick before we run out of time. Bangers is at number 9 right now on the Billboard chart.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Like, Lord, I love Lord. That one song, I was addicted to it, and then I started listening to the other stuff, and it's kind of like I could totally mix it in with my Matchbox 20 playlist, Oasis,
yeah,
that kind of thing, and have a very relaxing. I actually love her, and when I started reading about her life and her history, and I mean, what the song is really about. If you guys like the song by Lord, Royals by Lord, if you like it, go and Google it, and you can actually watch. There's a video on YouTube where she's explaining what it's about. You have no idea. Like, I was totally.
And I listen to, you know my style. Like, I listen to damn near everything.
Yeah, and you gotta fix that on the site, because I don't really listen to rock that much. I mean, I used to a lot. I was big into it. I still do listen to a lot of rock, but not the way I listen to hip-hop and pop since I got here.
Yeah. Well, like, I listen to a little bit of everything, though. And, like, I was talking to my friend Caitlin the other day about, we were talking about Imagine Dragons, and I said, I really want to get their CD. And she was like, since when do you listen to rock music? And I was like,
well,
it's not really rock.
See, that's on that
mixtape. Like,
we have, you know, in Kansas City, you have Mix 93.3. We have one here that's 93.3. And they call it Mix, and it's the same exact sound that they have in Kansas City. So I'm thinking it might be owned by the same something. But they play a lot of mixers from Imagine Dragons to Kanye and then back to Miley and all that weird, you know, very versatile. But people don't understand the classifications. You know, now you have, like, a song that used to be considered rock is now, like, indie rock, or it's punk rock alternative. My music library is jacked up from that stuff.
Like 90s pop music is now classified as dance.
Oh, and wait, check this out. Okay, when I was a kid, songs that were huge, popular, some of the Michael Jacksons, Whitney Houston's, those are oldies now. What the hell happened there? I am not that old, buddy. Okay.
I am going to be so sad the first time I ever turn on 101 The Fox, Oldies 95, and I hear NSYNC. I will probably cry.
You will. I know you will.
I'm not going to lie. I will turn that radio station on, I will hear that song, and I'm going to call you sobbing, just completely bawling, like, when did we get this old?
Right. Because it happens. Like, I remember, okay, I'm dating myself here, but Paula Abdul, straight up, the video, the song, the cartoon that she had in her other video, that I had earrings, I had the shirt, I had the tight pants with the big hair. I mean, I did the Paula Abdul thing. And when I turned on the oldie station and it was Paula Abdul, I was just like, wow. You know, it's crazy.
It's weird. But I've listened to Paula Abdul, like, recently. I listened to Straight Up. And I gotta admit, she did not have a good voice.
No, she didn't. She just knew how to open her legs for the right man. Just saying.
Ooh. And she's really not that great of a dancer, either.
Man, she's not that great of a judge, and she's not that great at anything. Like, really, at the time that she came out with her success, she was dating Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall had a night show, which is actually now the spot that Conan ended up getting it lost. But, yeah, so it was a late-night TV, and he was a big deal, and he pimped her ass out, like, totally.
Yeah.
He made it happen for her, you know, but the 2020 experiment by Justin Timberlake.
Experience,
yeah. It is still on the Billboard charts. It's awesome. It came out.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know it is. Okay. I know it is. It's like,
I mean,
the top 12,
like,
I think.
But...
Okay, I have to admit, though, I like 2020 parts, like 2022 of 2, better than the first one.
I do too. I really do, too. I feel like it's more, it's maybe he might have worked a little bit longer on that side of it than the first side.
I've read a lot of reviews about it where people have been like, it's not his best work. Like, you can tell that these were the leftover tracks from part one. And I personally like them a lot better just because, to me, they sound a little bit more commercial, in my opinion.
They do. They sound like they were worked on more, if they were a little bit more perfected.
Right. I don't mind listening to the songs that are like 5 and 6 minutes long on this album as opposed to the 6 and 8 minute long songs that are on the first one.
Great. Well, and, you know, that's like, okay, whenever I was, I think I was about 14 or 15, for Christmas, you got my name, and you gave me Now Number One. Okay. I still have it, and I remember I wrote on it with permanent marker and drew all over it and stuff at Grandma's house, because you had given it to me, or I think maybe your mom had my name, I don't know, but somehow I got that CD. The other day I was at the store, and I saw Now 42.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, how many are there?
A lot. I'm
trying to Google it, but I couldn't.
That's just in the United States. There's like 60 of them in the UK.
Well, there's like Now Idol. There's Now Country. There's, you know.
Yeah. No, but like, you think that there's like now, I think they're up to now like Now 46 in the US. Overseas, the Now series of just the popular songs. That's like Now like 67 or something like that. Like they have so much more there because it started there, basically, that it's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. But, you know, we only got like 3.5 minutes left, and go ahead and say what you want to say about Cher.
She just popped up out of nowhere with a whole new album and is at number 24 on the Billboard chart and has sold like a platinum in another country. Isn't that crazy?
I know. So much for the farewell tour. But yeah, we only got like 3 minutes left, and you know, I got my stuff to say. We want to get Megan Tonjes on Uncensored Radio. So I want you guys to do me this huge favor, okay? Go to Twitter. Go to Facebook. Facebook.com/ Megan Tonjes. Go to YouTube/user/ TonjesML. TonjesML. Or go to Twitter at Megan Tonjes and tweet at her saying she needs to come on Uncensored Radio's Lips on the Air. We're on Twitter at Lips on the Air. I'm going to follow her. I'm going to tweet her. She told me to tweet her. She told me to email her. We're going to make this happen. I want her on the show. But tomorrow is Saturday, and you know what that means. It's Jake Tetlin, or the Jake Tetlin Show is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to check out his show. Also, make sure you're listening to Uncensored Radio every Monday through Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for Guilty Pleasures, and No Rules with Mike every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And Lips on the Air right here every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Also, if you're not promoting with Uncensored Radio, you should be. We have tons of packages available prices. Please send us an email at uncensoredradio@aol.com. And also, big announcement, which they've been talking about all week and also on the Facebook page. Next Tuesday, November 12th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, we have guest Ricky Lake. Ricky Lake on Guilty Pleasures. We did pre-tape the interview, but you guys definitely need to tune in and check it out because it's going to be absolutely amazing. They're very excited. It's been Mike's dream to have her on the show for years. Definitely make sure you guys are here checking this out. Next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on Uncensored Radio Guilty Pleasures. But we only have like 90 seconds left, so Jeannie, do you have a final thought for the evening?
Go check out Megan and tell her that we want her on our show.
Exactly.
I was just thinking about you saying that, and go look up what the meaning to the lyrics to that Lord song, Spoiled, means. That's quite an impact on you. But it was great being back on air.
I will definitely do that. I'm going to do that right now, actually. And you're going to go and see Thor, so I hope you go and have a great time. Watching Thor, and let me know what you think about it.
I probably won't remember.
I might want to go see it. Oh, you're going to be staring at Chris Hemsworth's hot body the whole time. You're not even going to know what's going to happen. You're just going to be sitting there drooling. Just drooling.
Yep, I had to watch the first one like 6 times to get the gist of the story.
Oh, my God. That's funny. That's kind of funny. Okay, I have to admit, though, his hair is awesome. Like, I want to do him just for his hair because I think his hair is beautiful.
Real quick, you know they changed Dorian Gray, right? It's not going to be the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Well, it's Christian Gray, not Dorian Gray. No one can tell me about him. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been another fabulous edition of Lips on the Air. We love you, and this is Lips Kissing Off. Mwah. Good night, everybody.
Bye.